That is true. God knows your name. And I'm so, so, so proud of my girls. You know. Let me get my composure back here. Well, I was preparing a message this morning on the anointing. And after spending 6 hours and not even close to being done, I got to thinking, this is kind of my girl's day, you know, with all of our other graduates today here. But again, God's daddy's a little prejudiced, and he loves his girls. There's a message that my girls loved from the time they were like 6, 7 years, whatever. And they heard that, and that has stayed with them from that time. And they keep saying, "Dad, when are you going to do that message again? Papa, when are you going to do that message again? Papa, come on, do that message again. I said, man, I think the people are getting tired of that message. He says, no, they're not. I'm not. So this morning, possibility, this morning I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And I want to read this out of the New King James Version, if you don't mind. And if you'll stand with me for this, the reading of the word, I appreciate it. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Heavenly Father, I pray your anointing for this message. Give us your words. Give us what you desire this morning in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. To give you some background, in the scriptures, God compares us to many things. Right? For example, we are described as like branches on a tree or on a vine. We're described as branches by trees by the river. We're described as light on a hill. We're described as sheep. Salt, a racer in a race, a wrestler, a soldier. And as our text in Isaiah, we are also compared to as eagles. As eagles. So this morning I want us to focus our attention on some facts about the eagle's way of life. And from them, discover some spiritual truths that will aid us in becoming God's eagle Christians. Because that is truly what God is trying to tell us today in Isaiah and throughout the scripture, that that's what he wants us to be. Now, I'm glad that God compares us to an eagle and not some other bird. And I'm sure you guys have in your imagination some other bird that you might think you would be compared to. I'm only going to give you one this morning. Let's take a look at the chicken. There are some facts about the chicken that shows why I'm glad that God said we are to become like eagles and not like chickens. Okay? First of all, fact one, chickens are crowd followers. That sounds a little familiar. If a chicken sees a bunch of chickens running across the chicken yard, he will take off after them. Now, it doesn't really matter that he doesn't know where they're going. He just wants to go and follow them. It looks exciting. That looks exciting. They're running. I should be running with them. He follows along because he doesn't want to miss out on anything the majority is doing. Does that sound familiar? Second fact, chickens just naturally squabble and fight over anything. If one finds a nice juicy bug to eat, suddenly they all want it. They will chase each other all over the chicken yard trying to take it away from each other. They are funny about that. They can walk around that bug or that grasshopper and not pay any attention to it at all. But the moment one decides he wants it, they all want it. And they all decide they have to have it, and they chase on. The chase is on. They're going to get it, and they're going to rip it apart and whatever. Does that sound a little familiar? Fact number three. Chickens have no interest in the heavenlies. They are content to live in the chicken yard, walking around with their eyes to the ground, scratching in the dirt, looking for something to eat. Most of them will never try to fly. They are earthbound birds. I think you can see why I'm convinced that living the life of a chicken will never compare to the life of an eagle. So when you guys take a look at the chicken and you see a look at the barnyard or whatever, that could be you, if you so choose. But God didn't choose that. God took the initiative to compare us to something more majestic, something more grand, something more wonderful. Right? When we hear the word eagle, our minds envision an eagle soaring in the atmosphere, effortlessly riding the wind currents high above earth, majestic in appearance. He's a king of the sky, master of his domain. That's an eagle. How many of you have seen eagles? How many of you have seen them fly? Are they ever so beautiful in their flight? There is something special about the eagle. And for centuries, it has been recognized by nations, kingdoms, and empires as the king of the birds. Its image has been reproduced on their coins, their seals, their emblems, and their flags. That's the eagle. And God in his word tells us that of all the birds of the air, it is the eagle that his people are to be identified with. He is calling us to be spiritual eagles. So I think that's kind of an amen corner right there, you know. How many want to be called chickens today? How many want to be called eagles, spiritual eagles for the Lord? I know I do. Don't call me no chicken. You know, call me an eagle and we'll get places. As I share some eagle facts that you may not be aware of this morning, I want you to imagine yourself. Put on your imaginary hats this morning and imagine that you are the eaglets of the Father God eagle, and that he desires to accomplish in your lives what the eagle parents are trying to accomplish in their offspring's life. Let's take facts about the eagle. Fact number one. The eagle was designed by the Almighty God. Right? Okay. It is the only creature with the ability to look directly into the rays of the sun and not damage the eyes. God designed the eagle with special eyelids so that he may keep his eyes toward the sun. That means that he can fly directly into the sun and be able to see where he's going. I don't believe any other animal or any other creature can do that. I know for a fact, if I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden the sun comes in and hits you right in your face, what does it do? It blinds you. And thank goodness we have brakes, or we have blinders, or we have some way of shading out that sun, or there would be a whole lot more accidents on the roads today because of the blindness of the sun and our eyes and not the ability to do what an eagle can do. What an eagle does, he has two sets of eyelids, the inner and the outer. And what takes place when he's flying in low areas, shady areas, his eyelids open up so that he can see in the darkness. But then he'll flip his wings and flip up into the oaring and get out of the clouds. And all of a sudden, the sun blares in. So normally with us, we would be blinded. But all he does is his eyelids flip into a secondary type eyelid that shades out the rays of the sun. And he continues to fly, soaring direct into the sun and being able to see where he is going. That is something, isn't it? Let's talk about the mating ritual of the eagle. I know you guys want to hear this one. When the eagle begins to mate, he mates for life, just like the dove. When he finds his lady, he will join her in the air, and they will lock their claws. Then he will put his wings around her, and they will begin to drop toward earth. And they will drop out of the sky like they've been shot, completely free-falling. She will never attempt to get away. She will never struggle, but she puts her life into his wings. And when they get almost to the treetop level, he will throw open his wings and she will throw open her wings and they will fly back to the top of the sky. Up to the soaring heights one more time. That's one. Next time, they're at the heights and they will lock claws again. But this time, she will put her wings around him and he will put his life into her wings. And they will fall, free fall, one more time. He does not struggle, but he puts his life in her hands. He will not even try to get away. But for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, unto death do them part, he puts his trust in her. When they get almost to the ground level, she again will throw open her arms, he will throw open his wings, and they will fly back to the tops of the sky. Second time. That's not over with yet. On the third level, they will lock claws again, and the third time they fall, the female eagle will have conceived, and they will have committed to each other for life. And no matter where she goes, he will always be there somewhere in the shadows of her. Do you think about that? What a lesson for married couples today. To put their trust into one another. And that is what's happening with society so much today, is there is no trust level. My goodness, if you can imagine if they were, you know, having to trust one another, to death do you part, what would happen? I'm not trusting in you. That's what's wrong with the society today. And spiritual eagle Christians, we need to understand that. As we grow in God, that we need to put our trust in God. As he puts his trust in you. Do you know that he does that? That God puts his trust in you. And as he puts his, and the more trust he gives you, the more he understands that you are that spiritual Christian that he is looking for. You know? And sometimes you will plunder. Sometimes things will happen. But even in the married life, they marry for life. Ooh. To be totally committed to each other for life, just as the eagle. Both parents set on the eggs, guard the nest, feed, and also train the young. To the eagle, raising a family is the responsibility that belongs to both parents. See, that's being lost in today's society. All the single... Do you understand why we're having so much trouble today in our society today? Is because not both parents are raising their children. They're having to be raised by one or the other, which causes so many complications. Do I pray? I pray continually for our parents, for our single moms and single dads, continually, because they have the hardest job because they are not just mom, but dad, mom and dad. So it's very difficult. I commend you. I commend you for what you're doing. And for every parent that has, I mean, for whatever reason, has that responsibility. Some of your parent, your mate, your soulmate has passed on. I mean, I know Ray and I, we deal with it all the time when one of the, the husband or the wife has passed, leaving the other. And we have to help them get through these things. The bereavement, the problems, the soulmate. Because a lot of these people have been married 50, 60. I got one that's been married 67 years. I'm right on that one trying to, because I know what'll happen when that time comes. You know, the devastation that it will do, that we have to work with them. So, soulmate, hallelujah. Does God expect less from his eagle family? I don't think so. Okay? The description of a newborn eaglet is almost like the description of a newborn Christian. Born with his eyes and mouth wide open. It sort of looks like a mouth that has been attached to a bunch of fuzzy feathers. The parents are kept busy keeping that mouth filled because the eaglet is always hungry. The eaglet knows when it opens its mouth, dad and mom, eagle, are going to fill it with good things. Ooh, does that sound interesting? Now, our Heavenly Father is like those eagle parents with his eaglets. He tells us in Psalms 81:10, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Did you guys get that? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Just as a newborn Christian is so excited. I can't talk for anybody else but myself. When I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, there was a transformation. I'm sorry if people think that there is not a transformation in your life. But there was, and I know a lot of your folk will agree with me, there was a transformation from the old to the new. And when I was new, I was like that newborn eaglet. I was like that eaglet. I had my mouth wide open and my eyes wide open. I wanted more. I wanted so much spiritual food that I was taking Sharon to church every night. And I still couldn't get enough of it. I had to have more. I was an evangelist. Candace Tracy was his name. I believe, is that who it was? And I actually called him up and said, hey, can we go out to lunch? I need more. And I was so hungry. And I had to have the biggest Bible. If it was a little one, it wasn't big enough. You know, the bigger the Bible, the more you knew. Right? That's the way it was. Those big family Bibles. You guys know what I'm talking about. They sit in your living room. Those big family Bibles. I had to have that one. And I carried it around with a proud heart. Anybody had a question for me? I could open up the family Bible and tell them. I was excited. I was a newborn Christian, and I was so hungry. I wanted more and more and more. And that's exactly what these little eaglets are. When they're born, their mouths are open, their eyes are open, and mama and papa eagle, they know exactly what to do. They know how to keep the baby fed. Our Heavenly Father, God Eagle, knows exactly what to do to keep you fed. Will he do it? Will he do it? Okay, I'm just trying to figure out if you guys are still following me or if I lost you somewhere in the food. Just as the mother and father eagle know how the baby needs to eat and grow, our Heavenly Father knows what his eaglets need to eat to grow. Matthew 7:11 says this. This is in the Amplified. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous gifts to those who keep on. What's that word? Asking him. See, if there's a prerequisite, into anything in the Bible, anything that you want from God, there is a prerequisite. Okay? And the Bible says it right there. The Lord is telling you right there. Jesus is telling you right there. If you want something from him, what are you going to do? I got to do that. If you want something from the Lord, Alexis, what are you going to do? Good. Krista, what are you going to do? Brian, what are you going to do? Good. You have to learn to ask. If you want something from your parents, what are you going to do? Yeah. You want me to fill your car and your car is empty. What are you going to do, Alicia? Yeah. It doesn't mean that I'll do it, but she can ask. And see, that's the thing. We as parents know how to take care of our children. We know what they need and what they don't need. That also means sometimes you might ask for something, and your parents might say, no. Now you get all huffy and pussy. Why? I want that. You should be giving that to me. Just like those little baby eaglets. I'm sure if they didn't get fed, they would throw a hissy. Squawk, 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 squawk. None of you people have ever heard your mama, you've never heard your children squawking. See, I know better. I have a few of those squawkers. And if they don't get their way, they squawk.
You have not because you ask.
That's right. You got to learn to ask. Woo! Do you understand? Just as the natural eaglets depend and live on the food received from the parent eagle's mouth, so likewise we depend and live on the food from our Heavenly Father's mouth. Matthew 4:4 speaks of it in this way. Man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That was an amen corner. And that is so true. You and I are to feast on God's food if we are to grow and become strong, mature eagles of God. Anything else, anything less, and we will grow weak and die spiritually. We must have the eagle diet of God's word. I'm going to say that again because, and I know that time, I'm of the essence there too, that a lot of times we just don't have enough hours in the day to be able to put a study together. But God is telling you that if you do not, young people, high school grads, college grads, and older parents, if we do not initiate a reading program of God's word, eventually, it won't happen immediately, but eventually you will spiritually die because you haven't been nurtured by the word of God. God, eagle God, has not come down and spiritually fed you. It's fed through prayer, Through fasting, through reading of his word. That was an amen corner. I've only got a couple more to do, and I'm going to run out of time. Fact number two. Let me take you back to that newborn eaglet. When the eagles build their nest, they start with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and a number of other items that seem entirely unsuitable for a nest. But then they line the nest with thick padding and wool and feathers and fur from the animals they have killed, making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. Life in the nest to that young eaglet is so wonderful. Its mouth opens and it's filled at its request. The nest is so cozy. It's so comfortable. They never want to leave the nest. There's a problem. There's a problem. This is the life, thinks the eaglet. I could stay here forever. But there's something important that young eaglet is soon going to discover. And that is, eagles are born to fly. Not to stay comfortable in the nest. Maybe I ought to say that one again. They are meant to soar into the heavenly heights. Their very nature depends on it. It has been placed there by God. The eagle tendency is to mount up and soar into the heavenlies. And just as it is with heavenly eagles or earthly eagles, so it is with God's spiritual eaglets. We too were made to experience heavenly heights in this Holy Spirit. Maybe I ought to say that one again. We are too are meant to go into the... How many of you have been anointed and engrafted in the Holy Spirit and you get carried away in this old physical life means nothing, but spiritually you're soaring into the heavenlies of heavenlies. That was a good amen corner. Come on. Let's get back to... I can remember the night that after I was saved and I took Sharon to Brother Candace Tracy's revival, and it was just getting ready to close. They were going to close the revival. We walk in there, 300 people. I find the very far back seat. That's the most comfortable seat. They'll never find me in this seat. So we're sitting there, and the service is going on, and the minister calls out, okay, I feel that there's need for prayer for someone out there in the audience. And I shriek a little bit lower into the seat. They'll never see me. The person in front of me is taller. He won't notice me. None of you guys have ever felt that way, but that's just me. And he starts walking back. 300 people in this little bitty church. Walking back. I'm on call. Excuse me one second. I'll call you back, okay? I'm sorry. They're not supposed to call me until after church. I could have flew up to the... I've lost my train. He starts to walk back, and as he's walking back, and I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. I knew this wasn't going to work. So I decided, well, I have a Bible. I'll put it in my face. He won't see me then. Didn't work. He walked right back. I said about where Tom was. He said, brother. I'm reading. Brother. Says,
me?
Yes, you. Yeah? Come up here. Well, I'm by this time it's done. I'm over with. I get out of my seat in front of 300 people, come up to the front. He said, the Lord has told me something. I didn't tell him nothing. How did he find that out? You know, he didn't know me from, and it was raining outside, you know. So, and I'm wet. But he says, the Lord has told me that you need a blessing from God. And I'm here just to take time to pray with you. This guy never touched me. He lifted his hand up to pray, and I went down like a lightning bolt. Do you think that I would have went down and got hurt or whatever? I did not go down. I flew up. You can believe it or not believe it, okay? But I ascended to the heavenlies of heavenlies, and I was in heaven walking on the streets of gold with my heavenly Father for over a half an hour. Engulfed in the holy presence of God. I didn't know what anybody around me. I didn't see anybody around me. I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't care. I was so engrafted into God's presence. By the time I finally came back to my senses, Sharon was next to me. How'd you get there? You know? And I didn't know. But do you understand? Is this what God wants? Has God changed? People, has God changed? We have come into a society where, oh my goodness, you don't do that. Come on. It's not a Christian thing to do that. Well, I'll tell you, we need more of that. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did there, he can do today. We just got to be open, just like that little eaglet, wide open and ready for more. But now there's a problem here. You know, you can get too comfortable. And oh, they were comfortable. They were just so happy and pleased. They were growing. They were getting fat. And, you know, they rustled their wings a little bit in the nest, but, you know, never had to really do anything. Everything was doing fine. Mom and Papa was taking care of them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know, God's just taking care of me. Oh, I'm just so happy. This church is just so great. I could just sit here and not do nothing. That's what a lot of Christians feel like. Just as it is with earthly eagles, it is so with God's spiritual eagles. We too are made to experience the heavenly heights. It's inherent in our nature as believers, and it depends upon it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Have you soared lately? That's what eagles do. And God is calling us to be his spiritual eagles. Fact 3, and I guarantee you I'm almost done. Let's briefly share with you the parents' eagle's method of training their young to fly. They're comfortable. They'll never fly. They're having too much fun right where they're at. They're getting fed. I'm sure mom and dad are getting frustrated. But they're not. They're just happy as a lark, sitting doing nothing. Sounds like some churches. By the time the growing birds reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals make them quite reluctant to want to leave. That's when the mother eagle begins stirring up the nest. With her strong talons, she begins pulling up the thick carpet of fur and feathers, bringing the sharp rocks and branches to the surface. The little eaglets were so happy with the feather-lined nest, but all of a sudden, they're looking at mom and saying, Mom, what are you doing? Would you quit rustling up this nest? What are you taking this? Hey, that's my pillow. Leave my pillow alone, Mom. And she continues until there is no more nice and cozy nest for them. But now there's rocks, there's glass, there's thorns, there's all kinds of stuff they're having to set on. If they do not, they are very uncomfortable. Mom, I am very uncomfortable. I don't see how you could do this to me. But that's okay. I'll just go to the very far corner. I'll go to the back row. You know, and I'll be okay. I'll go to the back row and find that fluffy seat to sit on. But I'll be okay. The eaglet, the mother eagle, looks at him and says, no, you won't. She puts out her wing, and she does a big squawking command. Get on my wing. Wait a minute, Mom. That's a long ways down, Mom. Get on my wing. So they finally understand God's patient. But when God wants you to do something, He'll command that you do this. You have the choice not to, but I guarantee you it is not going to be comfortable where you're at. He's going to make it very uncomfortable. So finally, reluctantly, the eaglet gets on Mom's wing, grabs a hold, grabs his talon into her wings and his beak upon her wing, and Mother takes off, soars to the high heavens, and finally, the eaglet's looking around. Hey, this is pretty cool. I like this. Mom, you did it, Mom. You did okay. You did okay. I look at the sky. Look at the beautiful the skyline. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. This is wonderful. Then Mom does the next adventure. That's why we're adventure. Mom flutters her wings and knocks baby eaglet off the back of her wing. Now, there is no nest. There's sky and ground. And by this time, the eaglet is doing all that he can. I mean, he's fluttering, he's fluffing, he's popping his wings, he's somersaulting. Down and down and down and down and down and down, almost to the very bottom. And Mother Eaglet, knowing that she's doing this to teach her son, our daughter, what to do next. Well, they don't learn the first time. She grabs on, grabs him by the talon, puts him on the wing, and squawks again. Hold on, here we go. And she goes back to the hind heights of heavens, to the heavenly of heavens. And you understand, that's what some of us go through, the valley experience, where we almost hit bottom. Come on. Almost hit bottom. And God looks at us, oh my goodness, my child, grabs you and said, takes you to the hind heights again, to the heavenlies of heaven, and you feel so good. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I feel God. And this training session goes on until that baby eaglet figures out, I have wings. And I can use these things and gain the strength in these. And with that strength that I gain by fluffing these wings back and forth, I can fly. I can fly. And all of a sudden, you see this almost to the ground. This baby eaglet takes off. Pfft, wings go forward. And now he's soaring. As if Mama was with him, he is soaring to the high heights on his own. Do you get the picture of what's going on here? What God is trying to do is he's training you, spiritual eaglets, to go on your own, to get to the high in the heights. Yes, you'll have valley experiences. But God says with the valley, it's going to be the mountains. You're going to have the mountain experiences. So just as the little eaglets experienced an unexpected shaking that caused him to lose his hold on Mother's eagle's feathers, even so, God's eaglets may experience a shaking of their faith and their faith life that can cause them to lose their hold on the promises of God. They have been climbing and clinging to and holding on to, and all of a sudden, they lose hold. I say this morning, don't despair. Don't get frustrated. Don't throw up your hands and quit. This can happen when you're in the processes of training to be an eagle believer. Just as a parent eagle watches over his little ones to make sure that they don't fall to the ground when they lose their hold on their feathers while in training, even so, our Heavenly Father watches over us to keep us from falling to the ground when we lose our hold on the promises of God while in training to be eagle believers. He lifts us up to try again. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, "As an eagle that stirs up her nest, that flutters over her young, he spreads abroad his wings, and he took them and bore them on his pinions." Do you understand that's what God does? Just as the parent eagle continues to work with their young until they are fully trained, even so, our Heavenly Father continues to work with his young, with you and I. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who begins a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return." Developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Do you understand? God doesn't want us to settle for a barnyard experience. God does not want you to be chickens. He wants you to be eagles. Be the eagle that God wants you. He's determined that we're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do. And Lord, as we are in training, and I believe we are in training from the time we're born as a newborn believer to the time we go to be with you in heaven, we are in a training session. Sometimes that training is easy, sometimes that's training a little harder. But whatever it is, God, train us. Train us up to be the eagles that you want us to be. We are not born to be chickens. We are not born to be stuck to this ground. God, we are born to soar into the heavenlies of heavenlies, to spread our wings forward, O God, and to look to you, Lord, that we can mount up as wings of eagles, O God, and we can soar into the heavenlies of the heavenlies, O God, in your presence, O God. When we're down and out, O God, we can look to you. When we're down and out, O God, we can call on you, Lord. You're always there. As we get close to the ground, God, you'll always pick us up. But God, teach us. Teach us that as we fall, oh God, that we can spread our wings out and soar back up, oh God. Be with us, I pray, in your mighty name. In your mighty name. Praise the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Pastor Ray closes.